Hi there, beautiful people. How are you? I hope you are well. No church announcements really from me. Just please, if you haven't already, I would absolutely love it if you could leave a 5-star rating and forward this podcast to anyone you know who appreciates this sort of content and who doesn't, honestly, like anyone you know with ears, basically. You can feel free to send them my way. And other than that, let's get into it. Full disclosure, this is one of those episodes where it's a rather serious conversation. And so, if you're not in the mood to, I call it serious, be serious out. If you're not in the mood to be serious out right now, come back to this at another time. I totally understand. I get that way myself where I'm just like, nope, today is not for dealing with reality. Today is for Disney Plus or whatever it is, my vice du jour. And so I totally understand if that's you. And this is not going to be, I mean, it's a serious conversation, but it's not going to be full of just trauma piling on. Like, the world is a terrible place. Like, I know that very well. And I don't want to be all doom and gloom. So it's not going to be super graphic or anything like that, but it is a rather serious conversation. And it's not the most happy conversation that one can have about clothes and style and so on and so forth. So just be prepared for that. So, as you can already see by the title of this episode, and if you caught that little TikTok reply video that I did earlier this week, then you would know that the title of this episode is called The More I Know, The Less I Shop. And I don't think it gets more self-explanatory than that, but we're gonna really dig into it because there's so much more that can be said beyond those couple of words. But I think those couple of words are very concise and pretty much convey the overall theme here, which is that the more I peel back the curtain and really see what's behind the smoke and mirrors of everything, honestly, not even just clothing, but for the sake of this podcast, we're gonna just keep it on the clothes and the shoes and the bags and the whatever else, but really everything under the sun, the more I peel back the layers of what it takes to produce and create a lot of items, I just look at everything I own with completely refreshed eyes, and I have such a greater reverence and respect for the things that I own and the things that I'm trying to accumulate. And knowing how much sometimes literal blood, sweat, and tears goes into these things has really just opened my eyes and made me reconsider consumption. Just from A to Z, honestly, the whole entire process of it, why I feel like I need to own something, learning how to live with less, slow living, whatever you want to call that movement, like all of that has just been my life over the last couple of years since I turned this corner as a human being and started to uncover the depths of all of these things that I never really gave much thought to before. So let's go back to the beginning. I was gonna make a Hilary Duff joke there, but I'm gonna spare your ears tonight. I'm not gonna sing that Hilary Duff song. But if you know, you know. So I would say for me, this movement probably started seriously in 2020. I'm gonna say 2020 is when I really turned a corner. And prior to 2020, I was never a shopaholic. Like, I was never someone who shopped till I dropped and just bought things to feel the rush of spending my hard-earned money. Like, quite the contrary. I'm known in my social circle as being the cheap one, to be honest. I always say I'll never take the first price on anything, and I stand for that. And, you know, if it sells out in my size before it goes on a steep enough markdown, then oh well. The universe did not mean for me to have it then. That's how I feel. So it's not as though I was ever a person that was a super shopaholic and that just needed to have new things all the time and needed to feel that novelty. But I still shopped on a much more frequent basis than I have in the last couple of years. And I can't really say what the catalyst was, to be honest. Like, I think if anything, the catalyst was just reading about the environment, which I've always done. And that has always been in the back of my mind whenever I make a purchase. Yes, and thinking about not living with excess and being a person who just has stuff for the sake of stuff. Like, that's always been my jam, my ethos as a person, just based on the way like my life has been set up. Like, I've moved around a lot through the years, and so my lifestyle has just been a lifestyle in which it's not conducive to own and accumulate too many things, because then I have to deal with the logistical nightmare of moving all of those things from point A to point B. Like, I've been in Atlanta now for almost 4 years, which is crazy. And I think I'm on my fourth apartment or maybe fifth apartment in Atlanta alone. So, like, that should give you guys an idea that I bounce around a lot. I'm trying to plant roots now. Like, I don't want to leave this apartment, honestly, until I'm ready to really do something deeper than renting. So, knock on wood. But that has not been my situation for most of my life. And my situation for most of my life has been one that has made me always need to be mindful of what I'm accumulating, because I know at some point I'm going to have to take it with me to the next place. So it needs to be worth the effort. But even with that being my backstory, I still didn't have the state of mind that I have had right now since 2020. So I think pretty much everyone on earth at this point knows what 2020 was and how isolating and sad that experience was for so many different reasons. But it really just opened my eyes to how much of functioning society is just completely hanging by a couple of loose threads, and how those threads are only kept up because of consumption. Like, once we stopped consuming as a society, it seemed like everything turned to shit and everyone lost their minds. And, folks were risking their health to be outside to go to Walmart and, like, literally do what? Buy your fifth flat screen TV? Like, I don't even really know what it is that people were vying to do. People had signs in their arms on doing anti-lockdown rally saying, "I need a haircut, I need a beer," and like just this need to consume, even at the expense of your life or the life of a loved one, or obviously the life of a stranger. I doubt these people even cared about that, but willing to risk their lives, the lives of people they love, for consumption, honestly, when it all boils down to it. And so it really got me thinking about how much consumption is just embedded into the psyche of everyone in, I mean, Western society, but for sure the United States, which I feel most qualified to speak on because this is the country that I have lived in the most extensively for my life. So, in the United States, for sure, we are so indoctrinated into believing that consumption is the answer to everything that we really didn't know what to do with ourselves when 2020 happened. Like, taking it back a few years, 2001, when we had the September 11th attacks, I don't know if you guys remember, but one thing that the government was actively encouraging us to do was shop. They were literally saying, to show your patriotism, we need you to shop and open up your wallet and go to the mall. And like, they were encouraging us to buy things we don't need to show solidarity and show that we are a united people after a horrific attack on many, many innocent people who didn't deserve it on both sides. And I didn't have the language then that I have now to describe how bizarre that is, but experiencing the pandemic Lovato is kind of like a flashback in a way of what that experience was. And it's just like,
I don't understand how we come to this conclusion every time that shopping is the answer. Conveniently, the answer is always enriching the wallets of a few select people. Most of the time, they are people who don't look anything like most of the world. You know, most of the world is not old and Caucasian and bald and filthy rich. So yeah, they're not a reflection of who most of us are, but for some reason, that's always seen as the solution to the issue is shop, 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 and enrich the shareholders. The shareholders need us. That's basically the bottom line of all of this rhetoric. And again, I didn't have the language and I didn't have the mental capacity to really process that whole experience during September 11th, but I certainly had the mental capacity to unpack it in 2020. And that's exactly what I did. And turns out, when you're not full on with a schedule of things to do for work and things to do after work and side hustles and commitments and dates and friendship meetups and all those other things, when you're not in a full-on slammed schedule where you don't actually have time to sit and let the mind be still, your mind starts to really contemplate some deep stuff. Who knew? So, in the solitude of the Pandemic Lovato, I sat in my apartment in New Jersey at the time and just took stock over my life, took stock over society and where I think it stands as a whole. And at this time, I had actually just resigned from my fashion job. I had just resigned from my job as a buyer. And I just had so much time to think. And actually, the backstory of why I resigned is actually pretty important to this conversation too. So let's talk about that as well, because that really, I'm lumping that in with 2020 because it was just a few months before 2020, but that deserves its own little separate story time too. So, 2019, I resigned in August. So, this is so sad to say, but I don't even remember who it was that folks were marching for at the time, but it was someone that was a victim of deadly force by law enforcement, unfortunately. And sad to say, it happens often enough that I couldn't even tell you exactly who it was that they were marching for. But I remember it like it was yesterday. I had been sitting in the office, and we were myself and my team were talking about, clothes and shoes and bags, and because that's literally our jobs. And for a lot of us, it's beyond just being our jobs. It was, for some of us, it was our lives. Not me, but for some of us, it was our lives. And I just remember I had been feeling completely detached from working in fashion at that point. And it came on kind of swiftly that year. And I remember sitting there listening to the people talk around me. I wasn't even talking, I was just sitting there quietly listening. And outside, I could hear people chanting. And I looked outside the window, and it was the whole street was full of folks who were marching on behalf of, this person who they feel did not get justice. And I just remember in that moment, I looked down, saw the people marching, saw the people with their posters and their signs and standing in solidarity with each other, doing something that I think is so incredibly selfless and just amazing and wonderful and absolutely vital to society to have people who are fighting for what they believe is right. And the juxtaposition between looking out the window and seeing those people marching for justice, and then I look back up and I look around the office and I see us laughing and joking with each other about clothes. And in that moment, there was just like a wave that came over me, and I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is what I've dedicated my life to. Honestly, that was the thought that came into my mind in that very moment. It was like a shell shock, and I thought to myself, I cannot believe this is what I dedicated my life to. And that goes into further down the road. I have now finally made the distinction that there's a difference between working in fashion as a business and using fashion for the greater good and using it to show people the potential of who they can be and how they can access their most authentic selves, their most beautiful selves. You know, there's nobility in fashion. Fashion is a noble endeavor, but the way I was doing it at the time, in that moment, it was very clear to me that it was not a noble endeavor and that I wasn't putting my energy in the areas that it needed to go. And ever since that very moment, it turned on a switch. And every time I would go into that office, I felt antsy. And I felt like, what am I doing here? Why is this my life? Like, are we even helping people? Like, are we helping the world be a better place with what we're doing? And, you know, the long, not the long, the short story is yes and no. It depends on how you want to spin it. However, I would say that they leaned more on the no than the yes, especially with what we were doing. You know, we had no give back components. We weren't helping folks access their most authentic selves. Like, we were selling very, very, very wealthy women items that convey that they are very wealthy women. Like, that's basically all we were doing. And I mean, are we injecting beauty into the world? Yeah, sure, but at what cost? So I felt like a trapped animal in a cage, basically. And shortly thereafter, I resigned. And then shortly after that, COVID happened, which gave me even more time to ruminate on those thoughts that I had been having since that day when I saw those folks marching. And I just feel like society has moved has moved so far beyond the plot. Like, we have completely lost the plot of everything. And it's so apparent in the way we consume things more than ever. I don't even think most people are aware of what they're even consuming anymore, that it's so robotic to them. It's so mechanical, and it's really sad to watch. Because even fashion, right? Like, honestly, I would argue, not argue, I was alive, I was there. I will die on the hill that fashion before social media got involved is a completely different realm than fashion after social media got involved. I'm not saying fashion before social media was a utopia. It was not. It was full of problems, and a lot of those problems are still a thing today. They still persist, but overall, there was an appreciation of the craft. There was an appreciation of the item that I don't think people have today. I really don't think that they do because how can I say this? There are things that happen today that didn't happen back then that are a clear indicator to me that we've lost the plot. Like, a haul is such a contemporary concept that didn't exist before. And it's strictly to indulge in overconsumption. No one needs a haul of anything. No one needs a haul of anything. And yes, before social media, there were always, you know, movie montages. And I'm sure many folks in real life who did the whole shop till you drop thing, but that was not normalized the way I feel like it's normalized now. It wasn't normal to have a haul of items at one point. It was reserved for not even just uber wealthy people, but uber wealthy people who were obsessed with clothes and who really took care of those items and kind of had almost like an archival situation on their hands where they kept these items like a museum of sorts, you know, because in my mind, I think fashion is wearable art. So yeah, it was like a museum of sorts. And we could argue that maybe that's overconsumption to a degree, And I'm not saying that it's totally not, but having those one-off people who would then turn around and, let's just say, donate those outfits to a museum down the road, I think that's a very different conversation than what we have today, where we have folks who are doing hauls of things that they don't even want. Because if you wanted it, it wouldn't be at the Goodwill 8 weeks later. Like, it's just that simple. If it was an item you really wanted, you would still have it. There's no reason to buy an item and donate an item in the same calendar year. There's no good reason to do that unless, you had some change to your body and it no longer fits or something to that nature. But outside of that, if your physical has not drastically changed from the top of the year to the end of the year, there's no real reason for you to be taking loads of stuff to a donation center that you just bought this year if you really liked it. So when I was sitting in my apartment in 2020 and beyond, I just started to have all these different revelations about humans and how we're being pushed at every turn to overconsume, and everything is suffering as a result. I think we're suffering. We're the least happy that we've been in modern history. We're the least happy that we've been in a society that has modern conveniences where we're not scrounging for food. We have more stuff than ever, and we're sadder than ever. So clearly, that indicates that the stuff really doesn't change anything for you, really doesn't change your quality of life to a certain degree. Because if it did, it would be reflected in the overall morale of the people. And then beyond the end result, which is the consumer comes in at the very end of the whole situation, right? I thought critically for the first time about production of these items and all of the work and effort and resources that go into creating these items, and how much are we using for things that are going to end up being given away in the same calendar year. Like, I remember one thing I did in 2020 when I was gearing up to move down to the south where I currently live. I either sold, resold, or donated almost everything that I owned before I moved away. In part because I didn't want to have it anymore. I felt like it was representative of the person I used to be. And also I just didn't have any room for it too. So it was twofold. It was pragmatic, but it was also a very spiritual act for me as well. And I remember I was looking through my handbag collection at the time. And mind you, again, I used to work in buying, so I got a lot of steep discounts on stuff. I had a clothing allowance from my company also. So I had a decent amount of items that they were great. They were amazing. They were amazing, beautiful pieces. But I remember I had a handbag in my hand and I was in the process of starting to purge my closet. And I just kept looking at the bag and it was a leather bag. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, this was an animal. This was a living thing. And now it's in my hands. I know that I take care of all my stuff, always have and always will. I know I take care of it. I know I look after it. I don't beat it up. I don't treat it like it's not something to be loved and cherished and cared for. But at the same time, like, do I really understand the gravitas of what it means that a living thing had to be slain so that I could have this bag? And this is like me being super vulnerable with you guys. Like, these are really the things that I was thinking about in lockdown, as crazy as it might sound. I was really just taking stock over my life, and fashion was my life. I had always grown up thinking that I was going to work in fashion. So fashion was quite literally my life up until really 2020. And so I was taking stock over my life via the things that I wore because that was a huge part of my identity. And so I had this bag in my hands and I'm like, wow, understanding the gravitas of that, right? That was a living, breathing, sentient being. And myself and everybody else who purchased this bag, we took the life from that thing so that we could have this item. Do I really fully comprehend what that act is? Do I really understand the seriousness of that? And then, of course, I did what we all do when we like to depress ourselves, and I started looking up documentaries online. And I saw a documentary on YouTube from, I think their platform is called the DW, but I could be wrong. But they had uploaded an expose documentary about leather factories in Italy and some of the craziness that goes on at these leather factories. And these are not that it makes a difference, but these were factories that supply leather and are tanneries for leather that goes on to be used at some very prestigious fashion houses. So, these are premier places of business that are taken very seriously in my industry, and it's highly likely that I have owned a thing or two in my lifetime where, the leather came from one of these places. And the documentary was so heartbreaking to watch. I'm not going to go into any like gory details of anything on this episode. So I don't know what I would put a trigger warning on if there is one, but I'm going to talk real nonetheless. So the documentary was heartbreaking to me because I'm looking at these African migrants who migrated to this part of Italy so that they could work in these leather factories. And of course, it should go without saying, but almost any company that is willing to hire undocumented workers, they do so because they're usually doing things that are pretty darn close to being flat out illegal. And they know that they can take advantage of someone who doesn't have the social safety net of being a legalized citizen of a place. So I'm looking at these African migrants who are just in search of a better life, like so many people are. And they're talking in anonymity to the documentary producers who are doing this expose, and they're just talking about how badly they've gotten treated, and their wages have been stolen, and they've been threatened with deportation just because they want to get their money for an honest day's work, and the factory owners don't want to give it to them. And even in this documentary that I'm thinking of, the woman who was pretty much the host of the whole documentary series, she tried to get in touch with some of these leather factory owners and talk to them about the things that these workers have said. And in one particular scene, the factory owner gets in the woman's face when she's got a full-on microphone in her hand. She's got a camera crew in front of her. And he gets in her face and is like trying to strong arm her, like he's about to strike her down. And I'm thinking, okay, if you're not afraid to do that on camera with, to be frank, I don't want to make it a race thing, but I can't divorce race from the world. If you're willing to do that to an Italian woman on camera, I know you're not treating these African migrants with respect. You couldn't possibly do that. Because if you're not afraid of the optics of putting your hand up on a white woman, you're treating African migrants horrifically. You have to be. There's no way around it. And it just got me thinking about so many people in the world suffer greatly so that I have clothes, And clothes are an essential. You need clothes, you need food, you need shelter. But when I think about all of the suffering that happens with the majority of the clothing that gets produced in the world, me shopping in excess or me having excess in my life only fuels the fire of these inhumane conditions, I think. And we all need clothes. So I'm not going to be that kind of person that says, "Oh my God, you can never shop fast fashion. You can never shop at H&M or Zara." 'Cause some people, that's all they can afford, genuinely. And I have personally owned items from high street brands like Zara and H&M that I had for years, and I kept them in pristine condition 'cause I take good care of my things. And then when I, didn't want them anymore, they found a good home via Poshmark or eBay or Depop or something. So, like, I always try to extend the life cycle of everything that I own. And I'm saying all that to say, even on the high street, if you know how to take care of a garment and if you don't wear it into the ground and treat it with love and respect, you can practice slow living, slow fashion with high fashion, fast fashion garments. You can. I'm not going to say, if you have the means not to do that, of course, I would say, hey, spend a little more money and go somewhere that is a little bit more up and up in terms of their ethics. But if you don't, you can still live a slow fashion life and own fast fashion things. So that's something I did in my past, but I just took stock over everything I had. And I'm like, wow, so many things in my life that I just take for granted and just use as everyday things are the result of someone who suffers every day. That's the reality. The garment workers all over the world, majority of which are women who are just trying to earn a living, they suffer every day. Their working conditions are unfathomable to me. America has a lot of problems right now. It's never not been without its fair share of problems. And I would argue that now we have way more problems than I would like. But I still can't fathom being locked in a room where there's hundreds of sewing machines going off and the windows are locked and the air quality is poor and I can't take a bathroom break because they've locked the doors and they can withhold my wages at any time. And like, I can't imagine those types of conditions. And to know that me holding this t-shirt in my hands, it's so much more than a t-shirt once you know what you know. It has a whole story behind it. And a lot of times that story is very gruesome and sad. And once you open up your heart and your mind to learning about these people's stories and what happens more often than not in these industries, it makes it so hard to enjoy consumption for the sake of consumption. I'm not saying I don't see a beautiful garment go down the runway and I'm like, oh my God, it's to die for. Like, and even now, like, I see beautiful leather goods and I'm like, wow, that is a beautiful bag. Those are beautiful shoes. But I look at that bag and I'm like, wow, that was a living thing. That was a living thing that probably lived in inhumane conditions until it was time to be slaughtered. And then the people who do the slaughtering and the tanning of the leather, they get treated like garbage and make pennies on a good day and are always at risk of being tossed back where they came from, which is usually a place that has dire circumstances. Otherwise, why would you suffer like this if it didn't? And just beyond that, you think about all of the environmental abuse, toxic dyes going into local people's water supply that they have to drink and cook and bathe with, and it's full of toxic dye and chemical because these companies know that there's no environmental regulations in these places yet. And they don't care if the people there get cancers and all types of other unexplained illnesses that they can't afford to fix because we want purple jeans. I don't know, I'm making it up. But when you just think about all of the waste, all the plastic that we use to wrap these clothes and ship them to stores. I used to, many, many years ago, I worked the stock rooms of a store. And we used to get in shipments of handbags all the time. and so much plastic waste. God, it breaks my heart. And there was no recycling at this store, of course. And so we would just have mounds and mounds of plastic that we had to rip off of these bags and throw it in the regular trash every shift that I came in. And even then, honestly, I thought to myself, like, God, this is so wasteful. There's got to be a better way. And I think these last couple of years have just been a culmination of spurts of ideas and thoughts that I've already had through the years. And it all just kind of came to a crescendo, and I realized everything just kind of smacked me in the face. Like, so much about how we perform society is just wrong and just rooted in waste and no respect for the planet and no respect for other living things. It's just so awful. And again, I'm not saying that I still don't feel a rush of excitement when I see a handbag or a shoe or a dress or a coat. But I don't know. I can't bring myself to just mindlessly consume those things anymore. To the point where now I exclusively buy my leather, my suede, my fur, etc. on the secondhand market. That's kind of my cheat right now, where I'm like, okay, it already exists. It's already out there in the atmosphere, so it's not like we can give back that animal's life, unfortunately. So it is what it is. If somebody's selling it, I'll buy it. Because the reality is, we still don't have technology to fix a lot of the problems that we have right now in the fashion industry. Like leathers, for example, there's still right now no truly good, formidable opponent for calf leather. There still is not anything that is as good. We all know that vegan leather is kind of a marketing ploy for plastic. And at the same time, it hurts my heart to think that I have effectively given the green light to ending another animal's life via my purchase of an item on the first-hand market. So it's secondhand for me right now. But honestly, even just diving deeper into the leather, it's such a complicated range of emotions for me because, like, I think about the Native Americans and their relationship to the bison. And they had to unalive bison in order to survive. They used their fur, their hide, their bones, their meat, their milk, whatever they could to survive. But I respect that because it was never done in excess. It was never just using an animal for the sake of using the animal. It wasn't so that I could have, all of the hides that I ever wanted. It was, no, the hides that I need. I need this animal here, and I'm going to use it in as many ways as I possibly can, while also understanding and respecting the fact that this living thing had to pay the ultimate sacrifice so that I can survive. And having, again, a reverence for that and not just treating animals like they don't matter. Because right now in Western society, I feel like we treat animals like they, I feel like we treat everyone and everything like it doesn't matter. But for the sake of this conversation, and we're just kind of talking about the production of clothes and bags and so on, we treat the animals and the people who work in these industries like they don't matter, like their lives don't matter. We are willing to risk letting people get cancer so that we can dye things crazy funky colors. And I don't think the average person knows that that's what's happening, because I don't think the average person is that heartless, and I think they would not be okay with that. But there are people in the world right now who are sanctioning these practices because they don't care. And we shouldn't have a single person on earth that is willing to sacrifice your health so that you can dye a pair of jeans. No one should be on board with that. We shouldn't be on board with brands that just discard all of these items at the end of a season when they don't sell. Like, I can't think of a bigger slap in the face to literally every entity on the planet than that. And it's not just fast fashion. Luxury fashion does it too. You know, a lot of these luxury brands that everyone perceives as being so highbrow and so hard to get your hands on, that's because they damage out the things that they don't sell every season so that you never see them in an outlet or you never see them running a sale or a clearance, which cheapens the brand, quote unquote, for these diehard people out there that want to believe that luxury is everything. You know, they will damage out an item, many, many items. I've literally seen with my own eyes people take a perfectly good leather shoe and rip it apart and throw it in the trash so that it can't be put on markdown. It's called damaging out. It's a common practice in retail, especially with high-end brands, honestly. They will destroy unsold goods that don't sell by the end of the season or by the end of the year, so that they don't have to have a surplus and do markdowns and all that stuff. And all of that is factored into their budget and their dollars, and they are fully prepared to destroy thousands of items. And you think about that, and it's like you really have no respect for life. You will really sit there and tell someone to cut up a handbag and a shoe that used to be a living thing for the sake of optics, for the sake of being perceived as luxury? Who cares? Honestly, when you peel back the curtain and you look at things for what they are, it's like, who the F cares? And that's why I think there's a distinction between, you know, the Native Americans, like I illustrated a few minutes ago, and the modern day brands that we have now and the consumption process that we have now, because assuming what I know about the Native American relationship to the bison, assuming it's true, they would never just slay an excessive amount of bison and then turn around and say, oh, this is bad for the brand, burn it. No, because they have respect for the sanctity of life and they understand that this animal had to make an ultimate sacrifice for them. And so they're not going to waste it. Destroying unsold merchandise is a waste. Taking all of the items from the fast fashion stores that didn't sell and dumping it on some people in Ghana so that they can deal with it and have it clog their water supply and their landfills that are not built for that level of crap. That doesn't show a sanctity and a reverence for life at all. And so nowadays, I have since started buying back a wardrobe. Like I said earlier, I sold and or donated virtually everything I had from my last life when I moved down here and started over. And I have had the least amount of clothing I've ever had in my life these last couple of years. And I've only recently just started rebuilding a wardrobe again that feels really authentically like me. And I've been doing it pretty exclusively secondhand for the most part. Like, I would say about 95% of everything I've bought in the last 4 years is secondhand. Now, I will say the last three of these 4 years, I didn't buy much. You know, I was very much okay with being an outfit repeater because I really wanted to center myself and not just feel like I had to have a certain quota of things in my closet to be a worthy person. I wanted to see how it felt to just come out into the world and not, you know, kind of hide behind my clothes. Because for me, for most of my life, clothes are my armor. You know, clothes are how I shield myself and how I protect myself. And I protected myself all these years by being maybe, you know, well dressed is subjective, but in my mind, an impeccably dressed person. It was a way to kind of shake certain entities off me. And I didn't have the option to do that when I moved down here because I didn't have anything. And I kept up with the health and safety protocols. And so I didn't really go many places and shop much. And I just spent a lot of time with my thoughts. And I wasn't distracted by my stuff because I didn't have any stuff. And now I'm in the process of building back a wardrobe that feels like me, but also feels in alignment with the morals and ethics that I have now that I didn't really have before. So it's pretty much exclusively secondhand right now. And the things that aren't secondhand, because I don't think everything I own needs to be secondhand. I just want to prioritize longevity in my wardrobe. I don't want stuff for the sake of stuff. I would rather have one dress that I know I'm going to wear in 5 years than four dresses, and I'm going to donate three of them in a year and a half. At that point, it just feels like a waste of my time. And I want to put my money where my mouth is, you know? If I don't like the powers that be, I don't like what they're doing. I don't want them to get my money on the first-hand market if I can avoid it. So it's harder to shop this way for sure. It's a lot harder than just a pure click and buy experience where you see something on the internet, you click a button, you click another button, and boom, it's at your house in 3 to 5 business days. You know, that ease is vital to keeping capitalism going the way it is, honestly. And once I was able to push past that instant gratification rush that I felt with shopping firsthand, among other things, I've cultivated a level of patience that I never thought I would have. And I just have such a greater appreciation of my closet now than I ever did before. Because not only do I appreciate all that it took and all the energy that it took to get this item created, period. But since I shop with way more intention now than I ever did, and it's not just about the instant gratification for me, these items feel so much more special than the way things felt previously, the way I used to shop. Like now, I see an item and I look at it as a culmination of all my hard work and my patience and waiting until I saw something on the secondhand market that really suited me and really spoke to me and felt true to my personal style. And I see all the work and the effort that it took into getting this item in my closet, and I cherish it that much more as a result. And I think that is also what's missing from so many folks' minds and hearts when they consume as well. Again, a lot of times consumption for us is on autopilot, and that's by design, 100%. And because it's on autopilot, and we didn't really actually have to think or do anything really, except click a couple of buttons. The clothes don't really mean much to us. The bags, the shoes, the whatever, it doesn't really mean that much because it didn't take much to get it here. It didn't take much thought. It didn't take much effort. You know, a lot of times secondhand is being in the right place at the right time, and you get super excited when you score something because you're like, oh my God, what are the odds that I came here on a Tuesday at 3:55 and this jacket is here and it's perfect? And like, you know, the level of just pure kismet and joy that you have when you buy something in that realm versus doing a quick Google search and picking the third item on the top of the search bar and then pressing two more buttons and then boom, it's in front of your house in 2 days. Like, you know, that's cool. I think that level of convenience is great for a lot of things, but I think one of the downsides to it also is that it just gives us such a lower and lesser appreciation for the things that we have. When really it's a modern day miracle. A lot of the things that we own are a privilege, truly. You know, that Hanes t-shirt, I'm wearing a Hanes t-shirt right now as I record this. I love Hanes t-shirts, the men's ones specifically. They're fantastic. But like this t-shirt, and it's cotton. Cotton uses so much water. You know, so much water had to be used in order for me to be able to wear this t-shirt. I need to have appreciation for this t-shirt and understand that I shouldn't just buy 50 of them. I should take care of the ones that I have. because I know how much resources it took to get this t-shirt in the first place. And, I could go on and on and on about this topic and adjacent topics to this topic, but I think you guys pretty much get the gist. And again, you already know what it is. I'm so bad at closing out these episodes, and I'm working on it steadily every day. But the takeaway here is that I'm a Debbie Downer. No. The takeaway here is that we should really appreciate the things that we have. Everything, not just the clothes, everything. The phone that's in your hand that's allowing you to listen to this podcast is the result of someone going into a mine, going into a dark cave, and grabbing a mineral that is used to power the phone that is in your hand right now. That's crazy. When you think about that and how much effort that took, do you really need a new phone next year? Like just, it doesn't stop at the clothes. It can really go to so many other avenues of our lives. But the more you know, the less you shop. And that's all I got for you folks. I love you lots. I would love to hear your take on this. My socials will be linked per usual in the episode details. You guys know already I get active on TikTok. People don't always agree with me, and that's fine. But like one thing's for sure, you will definitely hear back from me. Whether you agree or disagree, I always have, a little sprinkle of my two cents to give you. And I'm trying to get active on Instagram this year. Instagram for me has become like diet Facebook, to be honest, but there is community over there, and I think that I am doing myself and this platform a disservice by not trying to find that community over there. So stay tuned on that, TBD. And I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Thoughtful Threads. Goodbye.